Welcome to the Upshot subscriber only bonus segment. He is Jamie. I am Charlie. Thank you for being a subscriber. We're going to talk a little heavy stuff today. You've probably heard about the controversy around Josh Anthon and the fact that he has a white pride tattoo and the fact that he is sponsored by Innova on their star team. So I'm going to give a very quick overview of this subject, and then we're going to get into some conversation about kind of the changing culture, both in disc golf and in society at large, and how that plays into what the future of disc golf is going to look like. So Josh Anthon is somebody with a checkered past. Simple as that. He was in jail just a few years ago after pleading no contest to in a case involving him hitting a person and killing them with his RV. And he was in jail for a couple years. And he also has talked about the fact that he has a tattoo that he got as a memorial to his friend. It's got a picture of his friend's face and some other objects, and it also says white pride. And this resurfaced last week on Reddit, on the r disc golf subreddit, and kind of blew up in a huge way online. A thread has over 2,000 comments. There were people expressing outrage about the fact that he has this tattoo, about the fact that Innova sponsors a player that has a white pride tattoo, and it went everywhere on social media. And there's a huge comment thread now on the article that we wrote about this. And it's been honestly a just huge shitstorm, for lack of a better word. Like a lot of really bad name calling and just like people arguing in bad faith, and just it's just kind of been ugly all around. And you know, Jamie and I have talked a lot about how we want to come at this topic and how we want to address it and kind of like what the situation is. And we're going to try to do our best to do that today. And I just want to kind of put the disclaimer out there that these thoughts are kind of raw for us. You know, neither of us really knows Josh all that well, and we have sort of the general public view of the situation. Although with a little bit more history, I think, than some of the people who are just finding out about this, because this was not news in the sense that it just came out. It's been known for a long time that Josh has a history and that he has this tattoo. He's had it since he was 17 years old. And he's said in interviews, including the one that was surfaced that kind of blew up this week or last week, that you know, he wouldn't get it again, but that he has it, and so it's a memorial for his friend, and so kind of like it is what it is. And you know, the conversation, we've seen some people calling, saying that they're going to get rid of all the Innova discs in their bag and they're going to, you know, boycott Innova going forward. And we've seen people saying that they respect Innova for standing by their guy. And there's people arguing about, you know, white pride and whether that's an acceptable term or not. And so it's, you know, it's a big, messy situation. And I, you know, I want to read what Innova said about this in a comment to Ulti World Disc Golf. They said, Josh was 17 years old when he got this white pride tattoo. To Josh, it was a memorial for a friend who passed away. Since then, he's answered questions about it with an unwavering response. He's not racist, but the tattoo was a mistake. If given a second chance, he wouldn't have got it. We offered Josh a sponsorship because we supported the man he wanted to become, a husband, father, and competitor trying to be the best person he could be. He's doing all he can to be that man. Josh's story is new to some, not so new to others. His is the human story. As long as Josh continues to be the best man he can be, our support for him is unwavering. And, you know, I think it's worth noting, you know, Josh spent time in prison, you know, getting his GED, learning to weld. He became a Christian. And from all reports, he's, you know, like a different person since he's come out of prison. And remains a very, very good disc golfer, you know, finished second at the 2018 Worlds and you know, is just a tremendous player. And I think it's a I've been disheartened, and Jamie, I'll let you jump in here in a second. I've been disheartened to see this argument sort of devolve into what seems like a question of whether or not, you know, white pride as a statement is sort of like an acceptable thing to say or to have a tattoo of in, you know, ever in 2020. When that to me feels like it's far from the actual point, because I think if you do any research at all, it's very clear that white pride is a phrase that was basically created by white supremacists and white nationalists to make the ideology more sort of appealing to people who wouldn't otherwise associate with those concepts. So, you know, you don't have to go far to read about this online. Just Google it. You know, white pride isn't a phrase that should be equated with black pride or otherwise justified as a, you know, sort of an acceptable tattoo. And I think that you're seeing that even in what Josh has said about it a few years ago, saying like, I wouldn't have got this tattoo again if I could go back and I was 17. So a lot of people have said, well, why don't you change the tattoo? Why don't you erase the tattoo? And, you know, Josh hasn't said anything publicly, and we haven't been able to reach him to ask him about this, you know, since this time. But again, this is news that came out many, many years ago and is not new in 2020. But I think what you're seeing here is a cultural shift. What, you know, why was this not big news in 2017 or 2014 or whenever the news of this came out originally, which was probably a decade ago or more? I mean, he's had it for over 15 years. And, you know, why is it now this big explosive thing online? And I think you're seeing the cultural shift playing out in real time. And, you know, not only are we in a very unusual year where social justice issues have come to the forefront of culture in a major way over the last 6 months alongside the pandemic, but you've also seen more expectation from companies to take a stand, to be involved in these social justice conversations. And you can go on, you know, a big corporation social media accounts and you can see them doing this. And, you know, I have mixed feelings about that. I mean, to me, companies are looking to sell you a product and it's a bit cynical for them to be getting involved in political conversations in order to have you have positive associations with them in order to sell you a product. But that has clearly been the decision from corporate America in 2020. And I think some of the blowback you're seeing with Innova, for example, shows you that there's that expectation from disc golf companies as well, at least from a segment of the disc golf population. And so this is a long monologue. Jamie, I'll let you jump in here, but I think it's kind of a, it's a little more complicated than it may appear at first glance when you actually talk to people who are involved in the sport. If you talk to professional players, they either like Josh or feel neutral towards Josh, but I don't think there's a lot of sentiment out there that, you know, he's a bad guy or that he's a racist or that, you know, the tattoo represents who he is as a person. And certainly from people who know him, they say there's no indication whatsoever that he harbors racist beliefs. And I think people maybe don't recognize that he's somebody who grew up in a culture on the streets in a way that most people just can't understand. And that doesn't absolve, you know, him or anyone of from their actions or from the things that they say. But I do think it's necessary context, which clearly is something that Innova has looked at over time, because from the Innova perspective, I mean, when he went to jail after pleading no contest in this RV case where someone was killed, you know, they, as soon as he got out of prison, Innova started to basically take steps towards getting him back on the team and giving him sponsorship again. So they have context there that I think is not publicly available. And so it's been interesting to see the way that they've approached this issue over, you know, since this came out last week, given the changing norms in culture. But there's clearly like more behind the scenes here that I think people aren't able to see when they just talk about this tattoo.
Yeah. And look, we're doing a dangerous thing here. We are going to attempt to have a nuanced conversation in 2020. And so I am speaking directly to all of our subscribers here. We're taking a big risk, Charlie and I are, talking about this, because somebody can easily take this audio, prop it up, and say, oh, you're for this, you're anti this, you're this, that, or the other. Don't do that. All right, we wanted to have this. I'm actually the one, I'll take the blame for it. I'm the one who would not talk about this on the main show last week, and we can get in, you'll probably understand a little bit of why when we talk, but we're going to do a dangerous thing in 2020. We're going to have a nuanced conversation about something, so please follow along with us, and please understand, I really feel like I shouldn't have to say this, but I will say this for both Charlie and for myself. We obviously are not at any point in this conversation defending a white pride tattoo. We're obviously not at this point in the conversation trying to force any of you along any certain ideology that either Charlie or I personally hold. So all that caveat out of the way, let's talk about this, because what I do want to get to with this conversation is exactly what you said. And that's, where is the culture now in the sport? What are the expectations in the sport from the players, from the manufacturers and brands and companies, from the public figures? There's a lot of different competing things in here. The worst thing that has happened in this whole thing, and the thing that has prevented a lot of people from having a significant conversation that could make progress, is that it has become this a yelling match. And frankly, it got brigaded, or whatever you call it, by some other, you know, SJWs and another thread who like to go to other subreddits and bomb them with ideological stuff. It's just, it's out of hand. And I would hope that if you're out there making comments on something like this, remember that whether you're on Reddit or Facebook or whatever, you're talking to other disc golfers. You're not talking to an enemy. You're not talking to somebody who automatically has the worst intentions one way or the other. Whether you're anti-political correctness, whether you call yourself anti-racist, quote-unquote, whatever your thing is, whatever your ideology is, when you go out there and talk to people, remember that you're talking to another human and another disc golfer, another person that if you were standing on the tee of number one and you guys threw an order, you would high-five when one of you has a good shot. You would enjoy playing the course. You would talk about your favorite discs and your favorite lines to throw and all that stuff. Because right now, 2020, an election year, where we are in this country, we are so far past the point of being able to have a reasonable conversation that even in that presidential debate the other day, it was a fucking embarrassment. So what I want to implore everybody from the top, be better than that. Everybody, just be better than that. And we can talk about what the expectations are for going forward in the sport. How ideologically forward do we want this sport to be? And how much are we allowed to leave our ideology at the political argumentative table and just get out on the course and play disc golf and let other things fall where they may?
I think
go ahead.
I just want to jump in. I want to say that I think a lot of people feel that way. I think a lot of people view disc golf, as well as, you know, other sports, as an escape from sort of the day-to-day realities, the political, the job, the home life, whatever. It's a chance to go outside and, you know, clear your head. And I think for a lot of people, that's what they want out of disc golf. And I don't begrudge anybody that has those views. But there are a lot of people who are expecting more from their hobbies, from their activities, from their sports, whatever, in terms of it being a positive good for the world, you know, making it a political, you know, bringing politics into the sport. And I think that's especially from younger people and people who maybe are newer to the sport. And I can't stop thinking about a comment that I saw somewhere online. Somebody basically said, Innova has been doing such a good job of highlighting some of their minority players, their female athletes on their social media channels. And the support for Josh Anthon and this white pride tattoo situation feels incongruous to those efforts. And I think this is where Innova and companies in disc golf, and really just anywhere, like all companies, have to kind of look at themselves in the mirror and say, what are we projecting with the people that we sort of are highlighting? And at the end of the day, even though Josh Anthon is not really touring this year, hasn't played any pro tour events, hasn't been a feature of the national conversation until this social media post, he is on their star team, the top level of sponsorship. And because of that, they are putting him in this role where they're saying, this is somebody that we want representing our brand at the like highest level. He's on the same tier as Ricky Wysocki and Calvin Heimberg. And, you know, there's a bunch of players on star team. But like the fact that he is in that position, like, is that compatible with the other efforts they've been making on social media? And in some ways, I would say that Innova's actually been the most outspoken company when it comes to social justice issues. And that's not, they haven't been like far and away out there talking about Black Lives Matter stuff, but they've done more than most of the other companies, which has been zero in most cases within disc golf.
Yeah. And I think that really gets to the heart of one of the questions here, which is, you know, I think one thing we can agree on, we probably don't need to go down a whole topic on this, Charlie. I think you and I could quickly agree that in the last 5 years, if we take this whole strata, we say that the expectations for what companies are supposed to do and say among a multitude of issues, how they're supposed to interact with the community, what is acceptable, quote unquote, from the consumer standpoint and all that, I think it's generally trending with the way that most millennials and Gen Z find their brand loyalties.
100%.
Is that a succinct way to say it?
Specifically Gen Z, but I agree 100%. You know, even 3 years ago, brands were more apolitical.
They were allowably so.
Right. Like, they were actively not talking about these issues ever, and they wanted to be seen as like sort of these neutral companies, and it was just like, you know, imprint whatever you want on the company, and we want you to think about Coca-Cola as a delicious, refreshing beverage. And that has changed dramatically in the last even 12 months.
And look, let me tell you, I'm a guy, 33 years old, millennial as it gets. I get the social entrepreneurship. When I needed to buy some masks, I bought some masks from a local company that had, you know, was trying to keep their employees hired, so they switched production, and, you know, I didn't go buy it from a big Chinese factory or anything like that. So I get there's so many ways that this stuff can do a lot of good things, and that is me. I'm not speaking out against this, but what I am saying is, I think it would do a lot of people a lot of good to consider the fact that exactly what Charlie just said, being quote unquote apolitical. That was seen as recently as a few years ago as the best way to keep everybody involved. Not taking a stand meant that you weren't going out there, and the cynical people are going to say, oh, well, just so you don't make anybody mad. No, it's so that you show respect to the idea that people come from different walks of life. And furthermore, that you show respect to the people that work at your company and the people that invested in your company, that even in that group of people, there may not be ideological, political, cultural agreement on things. You could have a workforce that is diverse, and if you went out and said something that took a political or a partisan line, you would be alienating somebody who thinks the other way, or you would be alienating people who don't necessarily want to get involved to that level. Now, it's 2020, so we got to say this. Everybody should go vote. Everybody should be involved at the bare minimum here in the United States. Apologies to our friends who are not from the U.S. right now, but it's your civic duty to be bare minimum involved. Do it. But that doesn't mean you have to have it trickle down to every single cell in your body and every single action and word and breath you take. You're not required to always be thinking about the political fallout or the ideological inconsistencies in every single little action you do. Like, you can go get a damn Starbucks latte and not have to worry about worker exploitation every single time you sip a cup of coffee. Like, that's not a reasonable expectation. So what I'm feeling in the sport right now, to bring this all back home, is there's a massive needle swing, pendulum shift, whatever you want to call it, from don't get involved, let's throw disc golf, you know, let's throw frisbees, let's have this bubble where we're all together and all one people and the ideological stuff can stay outside and we're going to work on this one commonality we have. And then now there's a call to, I guess, pierce that bubble, for lack of a better term, and get in there and say, no, this is the way it has to be. We're going to be unaccepting of certain things and we're going to say it loudly. And if you don't like it, go somewhere else. Now, when it comes to equality, when it comes to racism, sexism, again, everybody deserves to be treated equally. Everybody deserves to feel like they have an equitable opportunity to be a part of the community. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. What happens when you get to the extreme is you start calling out every little thing that you think is wrong because you think you're a treasure hunter uncovering some secret racism or some secret sexism. And what you end up, the people that you end up fighting with on the internet, they're not the secret racists and sexists. I mean, by now, these groups have been kicked off of every mainstream platform. They're smart enough to hide from the obvious fight on Reddit. Most of the people that the ones who really want the ideological stuff to drift down to the cellular level, you're arguing with people who just don't want to have to be faced with this every time they throw an upshot. And here's the thing, you're both right. They shouldn't be forced to take an ideological stand in order to walk onto the first tee. And you're right that we should not have situations, we should not have systemic, endemic inequality in our system. But the problem is the yelling happens at each other when generally you would probably agree on the overall. It's just the tactics being used. And I think that is where a lot of the miscommunication is happening right now.
Yeah. I think, you know, to some extent, there's, you know, disc golf has some work to do on this front. It's not the world's most, I mean, people like to act as though disc golf is this, you know, utopian land where everybody's welcome. And I think there are people that you know, that really kind of inhabit that ideal. But there's also, you have to just face the facts. It's a sport that's 90% white men between the ages of 25 and 45. And that comes with its own culture that may not be as welcoming as you think to people that don't fit that paradigm. And so I think that there should be some sort of looking inward about how do we make disc golf really truly open to all without any kind of, you know, you see it on social media. I mean, it sucks. Like, post of a top level FPO player and then you see comments on their appearance or, you know, things that are completely external to the actual golf. And like, that stuff sucks. It's not appropriate. It's not acceptable. Terrible. And it's like, unfortunately, a like big thing that happens in disc golf. And I'm not saying that people listening to this podcast right now have those kinds of views, but it's a thing that's a problem in disc golf. It's like, it's not random chance that the sport is growing gangbusters with men, but really slower with women. Like, why is it 93% men as PGA members? Like, we should face those facts. And we have to understand how can we get past that. And I don't think most people have bad intentions, but you know, what are you doing to make it welcoming to, you know, female players or minority players? And most people probably think, well, I invite people out, and I think there are a lot of people that really truly are full big tent welcoming and would never tolerate like snide comments or any kind of shitty behavior from somebody else on the course. But I think it does happen a lot, and that has to be faced. And the, you know, to kind of bring it back to the Anthon situation, like just hypothetically, I think anybody who's being honest and serious about it will say a white pride tattoo is bad. It's not good. The fact that he had to get white pride as a part of the tattoo as a memorial for his friend doesn't really make any sense. And, you know, I would love to see him go and get it changed. Keep the memorial. Otherwise, change the white pride part. Like, it's just not an acceptable thing. And no matter how you feel internally, it sends the wrong message about what you think and who you are. So I would, there's no defending a white pride tattoo. Sorry, there's not. The question is, if that's not who he is, right? If that doesn't represent who he is, well, then what? What do you do? What do you do? Do you say, well, he shouldn't be sponsored, you know, he should be banished from disc golf forever? I think some people want to see that.
Those people need to look in a mirror, because, well, I'm sure they've done stuff in their past.
I think it's,
and I'm
just
not defending the white pride, obviously. I totally agree with you on that.
Yeah, I just think it's like, and at the same time, it's like, well, should Innova, regardless of how Josh feels, should Innova associate with somebody who has a white pride tattoo as one of their top level sponsored players? I think these are difficult questions. And maybe it's not difficult. I mean, I think to some people it's easy. It's no, Innova should not associate with somebody with a white pride tattoo. How can they possibly do this? Think about the message that it sends. It is absolutely wrong. It's always been wrong, but it's more wrong than ever in 2020. And I think there's a lot of people that feel that way. And that's why I think you're seeing people who are saying, I'm not going to throw Innova anymore. You know, whether or not that's true, but people are saying that on social media. And the thing is, like, clearly there's a history there with Josh and Innova. He's been sponsored by them for a really long time. He's gone through these, you know, this checkered past, and they've stuck by him. Why? Is it that they're an evil company? No. I don't think anybody would argue that. Nobody's seriously going to argue that. So there's more to it than we see from the public side. And, you know, clearly, so far, Innova's been like, we're going to stick by him. It doesn't matter what we're hearing from the public. And that's been their line. And I think they don't have to go into the details. They don't have to talk about these things. But if they don't, they welcome the risks that come with that, which is that some people are going to be very turned off by that because of the changing norms. I mean, there's always been people who have thought that, you know, Josh Anton shouldn't be a sponsored pro, but it's never been like this.
Yeah.
And I think that's and Innova's getting the crash course in that right now. And if they decide, you know, our understanding of Josh and who he is isn't represented by the White Pride tattoo, and therefore we are going to continue to have him as a sponsored pro because we believe in his heart he is trying to be the best person that he can be, that's their choice, but that comes with risk. And, you know, it's, I think it, from my perspective, Innova would be smart to acknowledge that it's not just that, you know, he made a mistake when he was 17, but to come out and talk about the fact that, like, a White Pride, like, as a statement, that's is wrong, and be more clear about that. That's just my personal opinion, because there's a lot of people out there who are going to see that, and it's all they need to know. You have a White Pride tattoo, you won't get rid of it? Well, then you must believe in the ideology that that represents.
Totally. And look, there have been, this is not new in civilization. I remember growing up, and like, there were certain groups that, this is not the best comparison, but just how things can get out of hand. There were certain groups that like didn't like Marilyn Manson growing up. Remember in the 90s and the early 2000s, it was like Marilyn Manson, Eminem, these people, we don't like their music, so they're the devil. These people are influencing you in a bad way, and all this other silliness. When you have to understand that expression comes from the situation that you're born of. And look, again, somebody, I'm tired of the caveats. I don't give a shit anymore. Somebody's going to say I'm defending this or defending that. I just don't care. I just don't care anymore. People don't understand the situation Josh came from. That doesn't excuse the tattoo. It also doesn't excuse being lazy and just roasting somebody from behind your keyboard because you happen to find something old on Smashbox from a bunch of years ago. And then you just immediately fly over to Reddit and fire something off or on Facebook or whatever. That's lazy. That's as unacceptable as it is to ignore the consequences and ignore how society's changing and how we don't want to see people with tattoos like that. If you don't believe that, get it changed. Fine. Great argument. And by the way, Innova would do great here just to go to Josh and just be like, hey, we got your cover up. Let's do something that keeps the memorial for your friend.
I mean, tattoo
but let's
artists
just get,
will do that for free in a lot of cases.
Yeah, let's make this a win-win real quick. We're going to make sure you still honor your friend, and we are going to be able to continue to support you, and we can come out together and say, hey, I don't believe in this.
Because I'm taking these steps in order to show that I don't.
Totally. And you can't ignore that, like, 2020 is why this is happening. The greater things that are happening in our society right now, many of them completely unacceptable from an equality standpoint, are why this outrage is happening. And I think there's a lot of people out there who feel like they feel helpless to change the greater conversation in this country, but they're a disc golfer and they feel more closely connected to the center and the soul of the sport. And so they feel like they can make change here and in a way make a positive impact on what they're seeing in their lives and their daily news feeds. And I applaud people for doing that. I do. That's very important. It's that overused phrase of be the change, right? The big thing is, how are we going to go and do this? Have I seen anybody ask a question about who Josh is? Want to know more information? No. I've seen people asking for timestamps and then adding Terry Miller and adding Innova and going nuts. So at the end of the day, whether you ideologically agree or disagree, whatever, or don't care, whether you couldn't care less if he had 20 middle fingers tattooed all over his stomach, like whether you just want to play
disc
golf. That
would be a strange tattoo.
It would be a strange tattoo. You know, whether you just want to play disc golf or whether it matters to you the ideology of the person you're playing with, you're still all allowed to play disc golf. That's the thing about being an inclusive group. You're still all allowed to play. So somebody, I challenge somebody to step up and to do the right thing. somebody be that change. And
I think people are calling for that change to be coming from Josh and from Innova.
And here's the big question, which kind of leads us to our bigger point. What is the responsibility of a sponsored team member today? And what is the responsibility, you know, let's just talk straight. Because Josh is on Star Team, does that mean he is automatically a public figure? And does that mean he has public responsibilities if the man himself, like, look, he's not going to call us for an interview. He's not going to, he doesn't want to go back through that period of his life. And I only know stuff third or fourth hand, so I'm not going to, definitely not putting it out there publicly, but there's a lot of complication to the checkered past of Josh Anton. That's all I'll say. And that's kind of what I'm getting at with, like, it's not so black and white. It's not so simple. It's not so cut and dried. But the big question looking forward is, what are the responsibilities from a public person? Are you required to be a public figure because you're a sponsored disc golfer? And I think we're seeing various answers to that question from the wider disc golf community.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you're required to have a social media presence necessarily. You know, think about, like, Will Schustrick said in the interview that he's really impressed with Calvin Heimberg and, like, talked about the fact that Calvin Heimberg doesn't get up on social media, really. But, I mean, no one would argue that Calvin Heimberg's not a public figure in disc golf. I think having that level of sponsorship where you have a signature disc, et cetera, comes with a higher level of scrutiny compared to some random person who plays disc golf and, you know, in MA2. So I don't think it's unfair for people to question this tattoo. I think it's totally reasonable. And I think, totally. I think the question is how do you, like, does a tattoo isn't the same thing to me necessarily as, like, an actual racist incident where there was some altercation or something said that was awful. And at least to me, there's a distinction there, especially given where Josh has come from, when he got the tattoo, how he sees the tattoo, right? It's not just a tattoo that says white pride. Like, it's this whole thing. And again, having a white pride tattoo is bad and wrong. The question is, like, does it represent who he is? Does anybody care if it represents who he is? Does it automatically represent who he is because he has it and because he hasn't changed it? Maybe. I have personally been struggling with these questions as I've thought about this story this week since it's come back up. And I think it's, you know, I don't think, like I said earlier, people involved in the sport that know Josh, although we haven't really seen anybody come out and say anything about it, I don't think that for the most part, pros want to see him, like, get banished. And this is, you know, based on conversations that I've had privately with people in the sport. And so what does that tell you? I mean, does it tell you that everybody's, like, in on this big conspiracy of disc golf being racist? I don't think so. I think there's more of an understanding about where Josh Anton comes from, what his background is, and why he might have gotten a tattoo like this, and why he might be reluctant to change it. And I have to take these people at their word that it has nothing to do with him being racist. That said, again, white pride tattoo is a signal that is bad, and that if you are going to associate with that, is going to have repercussions. And I think we're seeing that play out right now.
Yeah. And another question I would add to that is, if a guy like Josh doesn't care what anybody else thinks, doesn't really tour, does not get on social media, You don't see him. I'll go back to what Will said about Calvin. You don't see big, long posts about why he failed this week or why he succeeded. He doesn't feel the need to live his life out in public. So at what level are we willing to take this? Is it to the point where we've got to dig up, dredge up every single little thing that's ever happened in everybody's past and then retroactively judge whether they're qualified to be a part of this community or not? Even if you don't know him, and even if other people are standing up for him? Or is it enough to say, look, if the guy's out there on the lead card of Jomez or on the Disc Golf Network live stream and he's, you know, rocking a sleeveless, not that you could rock a sleeveless shirt anyway, but, you know, bear with me, and he's got, you know, these big, you know, dog whistle tattoos all over the place saying who he is, and he's out there, you know, like flexing the guns and representing it, or is the dude living a life in Rio Linda away from the spotlight? Like, again, this in no way is me defending it. It's a terrible idea to continue to have this tattoo, and you know, I would hope that Josh's friend, rest in peace, would feel okay. You would hope, you know, that he would feel okay with like a small modification or something, just to say, hey man, like, don't take this extra heat on my behalf. It's still a memory, but I don't know these people. And that's why I wanted to stay out of it in the whole first place. That's the biggest message I want to get across, is like, you don't know somebody in disc golf just because you follow them on Instagram. You don't know the players on Innova Star Team, good or bad, just because you click to the Innova webpage. Just because you follow somebody and read those six paragraph posts about why they didn't win the tournament doesn't mean you know them. It means you know what they're putting out there for you to see. That's part of creating a brand. That's part of being a professional athlete. Now, kind of along the same lines we've been talking about, what are the expectations? Well, the expectations for professional athletes have gone up in society, and the expectations of disc golfers being perceived as professional athletes and the expectations to model that behavior have gone up in the past few years. So this is really what the conversation is about, in my opinion. It's not about drawing the ideological line in the sand and fighting on Reddit over the words on a tattoo. That's the silly part. The part that matters is, where are we in the game right now? And we're having these expectations that our professional disc golfers are expected to act more like their brothers and sisters who play in the NBA or the NFL or on Olympic teams. The representation, the spotlight has grown, and there's an expectation that what you see represents the culture of the sport, which, by the way, is nearly an impossible task when you have massive growth rates in the sport, because there are a lot of different people with a lot of different beliefs.
I was just going to say that. I think one thing that's really interesting about disc golf is that there are a lot of people from the ideological spectrum in the sport. And like I said before, it's, you know, there's a lot of white men, just a fact, but within that group and within the broader disc golf world, you see people on the far left and you see people on the far right. And look at the reaction to Jeremy Colling wearing a Black Lives Matter shirt on Jomez coverage. There were people who were like, this is amazing, you know, thank you for using your platform. And people who said, keep that out of disc golf. I don't want to see that. Well, it's very political, right? That's a political situation. And I think you're going to continue to see this clash because there is a lot of different people involved in the sport. And I think that's also a reason why, because of that heterogeneity in who's involved, that you don't see a lot of people coming out and making political statements, including the companies or the sponsored professional players. No one wants to rock the boat. And that's why, like, you know, Germ wearing a Black Lives Matter shirt stands out as a level of activism, which in broader society is like very low bar, being like kind of a story in disc golf. And then now it's this Josh Anthon story has resurfaced and blown up. And look, it's going to keep happening. So I think we have to kind of figure out, like, how, as a disc golf community, are we going to get more inclusive, truly? Not just, not because you said earlier, Jamie, anybody is allowed to go play, 100%. But are they welcomed in a, in a way that makes them feel like they can belong? Which I think is important if we want to talk about the community aspect of disc golf. And that's important. And I don't think that's always happening. And of course, it probably depends where you are, you know, what part of the country you're in, what courses you play, you know, how busy it is that day. Like, there's elements that you play tournaments or not, but there is a certain person that feels comfortable being in the sport because everyone else around them looks like them. And that applies to you and to me, Jamie. And there are people involved who maybe don't feel as included, not because they're not allowed to play or something like that. It has nothing to do with that, but just because of the way that people treat them or the comments that they get. So I think we have to think about, as a community, how do we truly be inclusive? How do we see the kinds of growth that we all want to see among kids and female players and minority players? And I just did an interview with PGA board president up on the website that you can read, and they get into some, he gets into some of these issues. You know, what level of responsibility do the institutions in disc golf have, and the players, particularly the very visible professional players, have in terms of talking about these issues? And those are things that are being figured out in real time.
No doubt. And I only want to add one final thing to this, and this is probably the biggest limb I'll go out on, because, like, obviously a white dude. And I've been candid earlier this year on the show. I've been candid about how my own perceptions have changed and how things that I was, you know, that I learned in formative years were wrong or biased or incorrect, and working on myself as I've become a man, as I continue to get older. And look, here again, it goes back to me having mostly black roommates in college and just living in the same space with people who came from very different situations than I did, came from different scenarios. You know, I come from Louisiana, they come from New York or from different parts of North Carolina. Like, my roommates had a diverse background in addition to being a different ethnicity than me. And the one thing I learned very, very quickly in all this, and I'm not trying to preach to anybody, please believe me, the one thing I learned very quickly was, it is so easy when you start to open your eyes to things that you were not aware of before, it's so easy to try to overly course correct and overly swing your ship so far around to be seen as so inclusive that it borders on what people call virtue signaling. And by what I mean, let me connect this to what you're saying, Charlie. When you're saying it's not enough for people to just have the opportunity to play, but to feel included, that's great. But that also means that, like, as a white person, you don't have to go out there and make a token statement about people who are not white. Or as a dude, about, you don't have to go out and make, like, token statements about playing with women.
Right. Those are the kinds of things that happen now that make people feel like they're not really included.
100%. You don't have to push so hard to make sure that they see you as not one of the problem white people, or they see you as not one of the problem men. That's pandering. And it's disrespectful to that other human. Because all it does when you do that as a white person and a male, of which I am both, and of which I've been guilty of this in the past, it just makes them feel, makes people of color, or it makes women feel like they're on display. You don't have to do that. Just treat them like a human. Say the same thing, unless, of course, what you're saying is not from a standpoint of equality, unless it is chauvinist or racist or something. If that, then you got to do work before you get to the first tee with these people. You need to work on yourself first. But, you know, once you get off the practice field of who you are and get onto the course of life, just treat people like people. You know, a black person is not going to have the love of disc golf come to them some mystically, ethnically different way than a white person. Like, it happens all the same. Same with women and men. Just treat people like people. If you're on the course, if you're on the internet disagreeing with somebody, remember, we're all disc golfers, or we're all people who would love disc golf, they just haven't played it yet. Just treat each other with love, treat each other with respect, and try to find a way forward. The past has lots of potholes. It has lots of murky history. It has issues. We have to address that when it is part of our system, when it has imbued itself into the rules and regulations, therefore creating lack of opportunity or unequal opportunity. But progress and equality in the future is not about turning around and relitigating every incident in the past. It's about learning from the problems, being accepting, showing love, and throwing some damn frisbees with one another. That's all I got.
If you have thoughts on this topic, email us, upshot@ultiworld.com. Thanks for listening. This is it. Please get in touch. We'd love to hear from you. For Jamie, I'm Charlie, saying so long, and thanks for being a subscriber.
See ya.